Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you the last Mishnah of Chapter 5 and the first Mishnah of Chapter 6 of Avim Matzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. The last Mishnah, which finishes off the topic of Rebeat, mentions that when it comes to charging people interest, it's not only the lender who bears the guilt, but everybody is sullied by their involvement with charging interest. Ve'elu Ovrim below Taseh, and all of these people transgress negative commandments. That is, they do something that they're told not to do. Hamalva, the one who loans, the lender. Halove, the one who borrows. Ha'arev, the one who guarantees the loan. V'ha'edim, and the witnesses. V'chamu Ovrim afa soferla, even the one who, the scribe, who writes the loan plus interest contract, is responsible as well. Why are they, how do we know they're responsible? And each one of them is responsible. Over in Mishum, they actually transgress not just one law, but many psukim, many verses in the Torah say not to charge interest or be involved with it. Lo titein lo from Vayikra, don't give him an interest. Umishum bal tikach meito, and don't take interest from him. Umishum lo tielo kenoshe, don't be like an oppressor, because somebody who charges interest is like he's an overlord, an oppressor. Umishum lo tisimun alav nechshech, and don't put interest on him. That's in Shemot, in Mishpatim. Umishum lefnei iber lo tisei mishol, and also don't lead the blind astray. V'yareitam Hashem lokecha, ani Hashem, and you shall fear God, and I am your God. These psukim, mostly from Vayikra, refer to the lender. The borrower transgresses these verses, but the real verse which indicates that the borrower transgresses is the one that says lo tashich, that's in Dvarim. Lo tashich is the hifil, which is the causative tense, which means do not cause somebody to charge you interest, which means don't borrow in that way. The bottom line is interest is a bad thing. The Torah warns about being involved with it at all. And that really concludes the chapter 5. And now on to chapter 6. The topic, if you remember what we discussed in chapter 4 regarding ona'ah, which is charging too much money for something. So I mentioned that there are three types of responsibility that you may or may not have when you wrong somebody financially. One is that you're not responsible at all, that is, you didn't do anything wrong. The other is you're completely responsible, and you have to pay some form of money back, usually principal, and then very often more. And then there's kind of a middle ground called ta'aromet, a complaint, which is where you don't become financially responsible, you don't owe the guy any money. However, the person that you wronged has the right to register a complaint, like with the Better Business Bureau, as it were, and that's called the ta'aromet. And our Mishnah says, asocher et ha'umenin, vihitu zedzeh, Eilahem zela ze ela taromet. So, literally translated, it means somebody who hires an artisan or a contract worker. Vihitu zedze, and one tricked the other, and at face value it's the one who hires the people and the people who are hired trick each other. Eilahem zela ze ela taromet, they have no financial redress. All they could do is complain about the one who tricked them. Now, the Gemara qualifies this a bit. As I said, the simple meaning is that one who hires a contractor. By the way, the uman doesn't always mean contractor, but usually the sense is somebody who takes a job to finish a job, not in such and such many days, but like somebody who says, "Oh, I'll take $1,000 and I'll build your deck." He doesn't do it per day. You're not paying him per diem. You're paying him for the overall job. And what happens is if as long as the workers haven't traveled already to the place of work and you call them up and say, "Oh, sorry, tough luck, I don't want you anymore," or they call you up and they say, "Oh, I know we promised to come and fix the stuff, but we got better things to do," usually because it's the market that goes up in price and therefore they'd rather take a more expensive job, a better paying job somewhere else. So there's no financial recompense because you're allowed to, as long as they haven't showed up at your place of work already, then you're allowed to back out at the last minute. However, because they put you out, and because they potentially caused you a financial loss, because the reason why they backed out of the deal is probably if it's the contractor, he probably backed out of the deal because he could find a more expensive deal somewhere else, and now you, the owner, the one who hired them, is stuck with hiring more expensive contractors. In the other case, you might have fired your contractor because you hired him at, let's say, $1,000 to build the deck, and now the market's gone down to $800. So therefore you call the guy up and say, "Oh, terribly sorry, I don't want you to do my deck," and then you call somebody else. So in that case, since they didn't start the work, in either case, either one could back out. However, it's trickery, and therefore you are allowed to make a complaint, even though you can't get any money. The Gemara actually proposes another case where a person, a socher, hires a contractor who then hires a subcontractor. The contractor is hired he's told that he'll pay $4. The owner will pay $4 for the deal. Let's say $400. The contractor then finds a subcontractor who's willing to do it for $300. So the subcontractor says, wait a second, you told me $300, and I just found out the guy was willing to pay $400. I want my money. The answer is you can't have it, although you can make a complaint against the contractors who hired the subcontractors because they should have done the right thing. Sachar et hachamar v'et hakadar, really, oh, et hakadar, lahavi pri parian b'chalilin chalau lemeit, oh, poalin lahalot pishtano mina mishra. So here's the situation. You hire a donkey owner, somebody who leads a donkey, kadar is somebody who brings planks or very nice wood in order to build something that to move things on or to carry people on. Today, I think you would call it like a moving van company would probably be the best example. And they're supposed to bring either nice wood or flutes, either for the bride, which means either for a wedding, or for the dead, which means for a funeral. Because apparently, it's interesting, apparently back in the old days, they used to play flutes, probably mournful tunes, during the eulogy process. Or the other case is where you hire laborers to bring flax out of the soaking bins. They used to soak flax in order to soften it up so they can make linen out of it. And if you left it too long, then the situation you had in all these cases, what is common is that it's called davar shabbat. So in all these cases, because there's a wedding going on right now, so if the guy doesn't show up with his flutes, you're not going to be able to find anybody else to play the band at the wedding or to take care of the dead who needs to be buried right away. And therefore, and if you leave the flax in the liquid, in the water for too long, it's going to get ruined, and it can't be turned into linen. And therefore, in all these situations, when you hired the person, it was with the knowledge that if they back out, you're going to lose, there's no way to replace them. So therefore, what are you going to do? Chazru bahen, and then they back out of the job. Then they don't come to the wedding, to the funeral, they don't go get your flax that's sitting and soaking around and starting to rot. So here's what you do, according to the Mishnah. Makom she'ein sham adam, socher alehen, o matan. So if there's nobody else to hire, and as I mentioned, the reason why there's nobody else to hire is because the reason why they backed down in the first place is because probably the prices went up in the market, and therefore they quit your job in order to take a better paying job somewhere else. So therefore, what you could do is socher alehen, and what that means is you hire other workers at a much higher price, the price that now the market bears. And socher alehen means the people that you originally hired will have to pay the difference between what you were going to pay them and what you had to pay extra. So let's say you hired the first guy for $750, the market went up and they quit for $1,000. Now in the first case, there was nothing to lose. The first case in the Mishnah where you only had a tiromet, that's because you asked a guy to, let's say, mow your lawn or build your deck. There's no loss there. If it takes another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month to find somebody else, there's no loss. But in these cases, if the workers don't come, then you're going to lose out on the thing that you hired them to do. And therefore, if you hire new workers for $1,000 and you would have paid the old one $750, you pay the new one $750 out of your own pocket, and the other workers are forced to pay $250 extra to make up the difference to the new employees. The other possibility is matan, which is kind of funny, which is you go to the original workers and you say, oh, I know you don't want $750. I'll pay you $1,000. Then when they finish the job, you only pay them $750. And the law says you're allowed to trick them in that way and only pay them the original amount. And all we can hope is that they didn't learn this Mishnah, which tells them that they're about to be tricked.